Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord, today in particular, we thank you for your presence in this world in the form of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago as he came. Father, today as we look at his coming, as we look at why he came, as we talk about all of that, I pray, dear Lord, that you would just encourage us. I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that you would draw us all closer to you. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, before we look into God's word, I just want to let you know that at the end of our time together, Misty and Travis is going to come back and we're going to play some music and our prayer team is going to come. And if you have specific needs today, we want to pray for you before we leave. Whether there's specific needs, especially associated with this time of the year, or they're just there and you'd like God's special touch today, we certainly would like to see God touch you today. So just kind of wanted to let you know that so you can be thinking about that, be preparing for that. I want to start off today by asking you a question, as I often do, to get you thinking, what makes Christmas Christmas for you? Now, I know we're in church, so if I were to talk to you one-on-one, everybody would say Jesus, right? Because that's the answer you expect in church. And I just tell you that if you'd answer Jesus, you'd be 100% correct. And it's a shame that not everybody recognizes that. But let's be honest. When we think of Christmas and all the things that we enjoy about Christmas and all the things that we do surrounding Christmas, there's more to it that make it special to us than just church and Jesus, even though that hopefully is the most important thing. But as you think about what is it that really just kind of puts you in the holiday mood, what is it that you really enjoy about Christmas, what is it that makes it a special time of the year, you know, if you were to make a list, perhaps it would include, you know, the special songs. You know, I like music in general, but there's just something special about the Christmas songs. You know, I know one particular family that they just love that so much, they start listening to Christmas songs on October 1st. Okay, my daughter's laughing real loud because that's the family. So, anyway, the Christmas songs, the Christmas music is beautiful, and we certainly have enjoyed quite a few of them this morning. Perhaps some, it's the tree, you know, and the decorations. I love a Christmas tree, you know, and the real nice decorations and all that kind of stuff. The other type decorations, some people go all out. They put decorations all throughout the house, decorate the whole outside of their house. As we mentioned, I think it was last week, we talked about lights. Light is always associated with Christmas. Of course, Jesus is the light of the world, and he came into the world, and much of the decorations are all wrapped up in lights. And then you have the gatherings, the various Christmas parties. How many Christmas parties have you been to so far? How many of you have been to at least one? Anybody been to two? Three? Couple people into three. All right. All right. Yeah. Come tonight. We're going to have another one. All right. And then not just the parties, but I don't know about you. I love the Christmas parties, but getting together with family. Some of you have already gotten together with family. I know that my family back in Ohio all got together yesterday because there's so many children, grandchildren, in-laws, outlaws, you know, and all the other cousins and everything else, that they can't get together on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, all of them. So they schedule a Saturday early. I think there's been times even two or three Saturdays before Christmas they've had to schedule. They get everybody together. And I said outlaws because basically our family are the outlaws. We can't ever be there at Christmas. But they all got together yesterday. Maybe some of you have experienced that. I know the Wades had a lot of family and a lot of them have to leave today. So I'm sure they've had their celebration or some kind of celebration. But many of us will gather together with family on Christmas Eve and or Christmas Day. And those times are very, very special. And then, of course, there's the shows. You know, whether you're talking about your favorite Christmas shows on TV, or you go to see a special show or a Christmas production. We didn't do one this year with my wife out of the country and Misty and Travis doing some other things. And it just, we didn't get a production together this year. But there's the Christmas productions, Christmas shows. We saw some shows yesterday when we went to the Holy Land Experience. Those were really, really great. One other ingredient I haven't mentioned yet, and that's the food. You know what? That wasn't what I was thinking of. Thank you. I don't know who that was, but I didn't have that on my list. Food, you're right, the good food. We're going to have a lot of that tonight too. But the one I was thinking of that I didn't mention yet were the gifts. Of course, you're all spiritual, all humble, all the gifts aren't important. Don't lie in church. The gifts, right? The gifts. I want to talk a little bit about gifts today. There's all different kinds of Christmas gift traditions, whether you look at them as traditions or not. But let me ask you, how many of you are the type that you like to buy your Christmas gifts early? You start early. Yeah. A number of you. That's what my wife does. I say, I'm blessed. I only have to buy Christmas gifts for my wife. That's all I got to worry about. She takes care of everybody else. And she starts on December 26th. I just want to tell you, literally, if she's in a store on December 26th and sees something that's good for Christmas next year, she's going to get it. All right? And many of you know God leads her to special deals and bargains. So if she finds one, it doesn't matter what month it is, it doesn't matter what day it is, if she finds something that's a great bargain, says that'll be great for so-and-so for Christmas, she buys it and she's got a special place where she sticks it until Christmas comes around. Of course, she gets to the end of, toward the end of the year, it's like, well, who have I bought for and who have I haven't? So she's got to dig it all out and say, well, that's for so-and-so and figure it all out. But she buys early. How many of you do it the last minute? Okay, now how many of you enjoy doing it at the last minute? I know some people do. It's like, got to get out there, maybe even Christmas Eve and the hustle and the bustle and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just part of your Christmas tradition for gifts. All right, just kind of see how people do things. How many of you, you put your gifts under the tree as soon as they're wrapped? Yeah, a good number of you. How many of you put them out at a specific time? Maybe it's Christmas Eve or maybe it's right before Christmas. How many put it out at a specific time? What do the rest of you do? Do you just not bother to wrap them? You just open them and enjoy them? Okay, all right. Here's another one. How many of you open gifts on Christmas Eve? All the gifts. How many of you open all your gifts on Christmas Eve? Anybody? Okay. How many open them Christmas morning? That's usually traditional. How many of you open one or maybe a couple Christmas Eve and then you open the majority Christmas morning? See, that's very, very popular too. All right. How many, here's a tradition that we did one time. How many of you have ever left some of your Christmas gifts to open until July? Anybody? No, nobody? Are we the only ones that did that? Well, I just tell you that the time that we did that was not intentional. I've told this story before, so it may sound familiar to those of you that have been around for a while, but there was a time when we were living in Morenci, Arizona, over 20 years ago. And we had a really great Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And so it gets to be July, and I decide to clean out my garage. And so I go out in the garage, and I got a stack of boxes from things that have been shipped over the course of the year. You know, boxes from Christmas, boxes from UPS shipments, FedEx, whatever, to the church, because I was the pastor, you know, to us personally. And it's like, I got to clean out this garage. So I am collapsing the boxes. You know, you empty them, make sure they're empty, then you cut them, flatten them, whatever. And so I found this one box that had come from my parents in Ohio to Arizona, and it was filled with packing peanuts. And so I wanted to collapse the box, so I'm emptying out the packing peanuts, and in the bottom of the box, mixed in with the packing peanuts, are a couple of presents that were still wrapped. And we missed them because they were small presents. It's kind of hard to miss a big present, okay? But just very, very small presents that were all kind of in the midst of the packing peanuts, and as we unpacked the box, somehow we just totally missed it. And so we had Christmas in July, you know, and there weren't very many, but I can't remember who all there were presents for. But I came into the house. I said, guess what? We got Christmas presents. And they were like, what? And so we opened those. But I use that as an illustration. Got your attention for one thing. But there's a spiritual truth to that. You know, we will open a lot of gifts the next couple of days, and we probably will leave none of them unopened that we know of. But you know what? Many gifts go unopened every single Christmas. Maybe not gifts that have been purchased and wrapped with love and put under the tree and distributed to family members and friends with well wishes, and we unwrap those. But there are a lot of gifts that are available to us today, this week, on Christmas, that will go unopened. There'll be gifts that perhaps will be unopened in your house. There will be gifts that you have available to you that perhaps you will not open. And so what I want to talk to you about for a couple of minutes today is to open all your gifts. That's the title of my message. That's my challenge to you. That this Christmas, open all your gifts. You might say, well, what kind of gifts are you talking about? What gifts might it be that I would have that I might not open? And I want to start off with just some really practical down-home things, or one particular practical down-home thing. And I talk about family gifts, gifts that you would exchange with members of your family, whether they're family by blood or not by blood, they're just family. Our time together with family is important, and it's an enjoyable focus for most people at Christmas. I've already mentioned that. I have great memories, and there's good food and enjoyable activities. And I want to encourage you to make the most of the time that you get together with your families. And I know that part of that will probably be opening up those physical presents that we receive from family members. And I don't know about you, but we got a whole big stack of presents under our tree already, because we, at this point of our lives anyway, put the presents out once they've been wrapped. And since all of our family is going to be over with us and other people, and our youngest daughter's in from Seattle, Washington, and they've all brought presents, and there's just a stack of presents under the tree. That's going to be fun. When we sit down Christmas morning, that's when we're going to do it this year anyway, we will probably take a couple hours opening Christmas presents, because we don't just all dive in at the same time. It's one by one by one, see what everybody gets. But you know what? There are some gifts that have to do with your family members that might go unopened. But there's only one that I want to mention. And that one is time. Now, time is going to pass. But the gift that we've been given in spending time with our families, will we make the most of it? I mentioned memories. I have so many memories of Christmases all through the years. But I remember back when I was a very young child, we would always go to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve. And as a very, very small, young child, I remember looking into the living room. We knew we were not allowed to go into the living room until after we had eaten. And seeing the tree and all the presents under the tree. The ones my grandparents had put there. And then when other family members would come in, the adults were allowed to go into the living room. And they'd put more presents under the tree. And all of us kids would stand on the edge of the carpet to the living room as close as we could get. We couldn't read the labels, but we sure wish we could. Which ones are mine? Looking for those trees. And my grandparents had a fire. It was up north. It was a fireplace. They had a fireplace. A fire and a fireplace. And we'd have a big family meal. And the kids would woof the food down. Like, yeah. You know, and it's like, can we go open presents? Nope. We're not done eating yet. And my dad and my uncle were usually the ones sitting at the table. Said, oh, I think I'll have a little more mashed potatoes. So you get a little, you know what? And they eat the mashed potatoes and the meat would run out. And it's like, it's got to balance out. I better get a little bit more meat to go with the mashed potatoes. And sometimes they would deliberately make it so that each one would run out a little bit before the other. And they keep going back and forth. And then again, I think we should have a cup of coffee before. And us kids, we were just, you know, we'd finally get in. We'd open all the presents and just such wonderful memories. And then Christmas Day, we'd go back again and take all of our favorite toys from Christmas morning. You know, we'd get open our presents Christmas morning. You know, we made my parents pay for that, my dad, because we'd get up at maybe 4:35 in the morning and holler upstairs because our bedroom was downstairs. Can we get up now? Can we open presents now? And my dad would say, no, go back to sleep. And that's impossible. That's impossible. And so about a half an hour, like, can we get up now? And finally my dad would say, forget it. I'm not going to get any more sleep. And so probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, we had five kids in the family. We'd all get up. We'd open presents and just have a wonderful time. They'd go back to grandma's house that afternoon, play with everybody's toys and all that. Just wonderful, wonderful memories. And I could recount many, many more, but we didn't come to listen to my memories, but memories of when my wife and I got married and our girls came along and things that we did and things that we enjoyed. But those memories are so significantly a part of what Christmas is all about. the traditions that are there, the games. We'd get together and play games, all the good food. We'd sing carols as a family. My grandfather had several electric train sets. And we would set that up to go under the Christmas tree and all around the living room and just all kinds of stuff. Just spending time today. And today, as we talk about gifts that may go unopened, I want to challenge you to think about what will you do with the time you have with your family? Because it's a gift. It's a gift. Don't let it remain unopened. Our children grow up so quick. Are we making good memories? Not for the sake of making memories, but having fun together doing it. Our young people will be gone before you know it. Got some young people here. They're in college. Some are away at college. They're back home. And I'm sure their families are thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying that. Those of you children and young people that are here, your parents are getting older. Your grandparents are getting older. It won't be long before you wish you had more time with them. Sorry, I get a little emotional here. I'm just thinking about our own personal situation. Our youngest daughter's here from Seattle, Washington. She doesn't always get to be here. And Missy and Travis are getting ready to move to Colorado next year. So this is going to be a very special Christmas. And more than any, I'm thinking about the time and what we will do to make this special. It's a gift. The time spent with family is a gift. If this were your last Christmas together, how would you spend your time? What would you do? I will say it's the last Christmas you will have with your family members at this age and stage of their life, whether you're talking about young children, teenagers who will eventually be leaving home and going and doing other things. And, you know, when they get married, they'll come back, but they won't be there every single time. So, as I said, very practical, just that one thing as far as family is concerned, time. It's such an important gift. Open it. Revel in it. Use it. Take advantage of it this Christmas. But I want to spend the rest of our time talking about God's gifts. God's gifts. You see, God has gifts for us this Christmas. And they're available to every single one of us. But the question is whether or not you open them. Will you open the gifts that God has for you? I want to talk to you about a couple of gifts that God has for you that often remain unopened. The first one is joy. Joy. Joy is a word that is so associated with this time of the year. We find it all throughout the stories of Christ's coming. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, when Jesus has been born in, he's been placed in that manger in the stable of Bethlehem. And the angels show up. As I'm sure most of you are familiar with this story. The angels show up to announce his birth to the shepherds. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Fear not." I mean, the shepherds were scared to death. Can I tell you, anytime you see an angel showing up in the Bible, no matter who they show up to, they are scared to death. And the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." He tells the shepherd, here's news. Here's something that's happened. This is a gift from God that should bring great joy. Great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Mega joy. You know, sometimes we just settle for happiness. And happiness is a good thing. Happiness is a gift from God. But you know, many times our happiness is just dependent on our circumstances. Whereas joy from God can be there no matter what our circumstances are. And you might read that story and say, yeah, you know, that's easy for them to say. That's easy for God to put in the Bible because you don't know my circumstances. I want to tell you something. The original people this message came to were facing tough times. The shepherds themselves were part of God's people and they were under the oppressive hand of the Roman Empire. And the whole story takes place in the context of being taxed. To pay money that they really didn't have, they couldn't afford to do without. The message was given to shepherds, people who were considered the lowest class of society. Nobody else wanted to be around them. They were considered thieves. Many of them were thieves. Spending the cold winter nights out on the hills taking care of sheep. But the message is you can have joy. We even think of Mary and Joseph, and we make the cute little manger scenes, and it's all warm and fuzzy, not literally fuzzy, get the warm and fuzzy feelings of Mary and Joseph around this little manger in the nice soft hay. Have you ever laid on hay? Hay is not soft. But I mean, it just looks all just, and all the animals gathered around. It just seems so nice and neat and homey and all that kind of. It was dirty, smelly, and nasty. Now, I'm not trying to trash our Christmas traditions. What I'm trying to say is that if the message from God was joy for them, it can be joy for us no matter what we're facing. God offers this gift of joy. Joy in the midst of fear. Joy in the midst of difficulty. Joy in the midst of circumstances that we'd rather be in some other circumstances. And we know that when Jesus grew up, that he said that one of the reasons he came was to bring joy. It wasn't just available when he was born because God wanted to make some special birth announcement. But it was something, a gift that God gave that was supposed to last. We all know the difference between the different kinds of gifts, right? We get some gifts and they're good for a while. You know, some gifts we get when we're kids anyway, you play with it and 5 minutes later it's broken. Oh well. Sometimes the batteries die and hopefully you can replace them, that kind of stuff. Sometimes you know, everything that we have in this world will only last a certain period of time. Some will last longer. But the gift of joy, God wants us to be able to experience all the time. It's a struggle sometimes, but he wants us to have that. Jesus said in John 15, verses 9 through 11, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide or remain or dwell within my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now, granted, there is a condition there. He says, if you abide in my love, if you're in relationship with him, the capacity is there, the possibility is there to experience his love and his joy. And Jesus says that it is intent that his joy, or our joy, be full and that it be his joy. In John chapter 16, all these things Jesus is saying the night he's going to be betrayed. And the disciples are struggling with having joy because they're confused. They don't know what's going to happen. It seems kind of ominous. Obviously so. But then in John 16, he says, you know what? You will struggle. You will find yourselves mourning. He says, but your grief will turn to joy. And of course, that's exactly what happened. The disciples thought their worlds had been destroyed when Jesus was arrested and then crucified. But that mourning turned to joy when Jesus rose from the grave. Can I tell you that Jesus has a resurrection for every one of your situations? And you can experience the joy now, even though the resurrection has not happened yet. In John 17:13, Jesus is praying to God. And he's talking to God. He says, now, God, I'm coming to you. And these things I speak in the world that they, talking about his disciples, may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So the very last, well, second to the last prayer that Jesus prayed, the last prayer is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's when Jesus is struggling with what's going to happen. And he says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. But the very second last prayer, he's praying for his people, knowing he's facing the cross and all that it entails. And he says, Lord, may they have our joy. God makes joy available to his people. It's available to you today. Don't let that gift remain unopened this Christmas. Don't go through this Christmas without experiencing God's joy. And again, you may feel like there's no way I can. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what's going on in my workplace or my job or same thing or my family or my finances or another relationship that's not right. I just want to tell you, I know that's tough. But God's joy is available. Don't let that gift remain unopened. Open all of your gifts. The second gift that God wants each of us to open this Christmas is peace. Peace. Going back to Luke chapter 2 in verse 14, that angel is bringing the message to the shepherds, and then eventually a whole army of angels show up, praising God. What is it that they say in Luke 2:14? It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You know, peace isn't experienced very often in this world. In fact, if you go back through history, you would probably find that there has been no time at which there's been peace everywhere in the world. Somewhere, someplace, there's always conflict, there's always fighting, there's always war. Some worse than others, some bigger than others, some engulfing more of the world than others, but there's always conflict. Sometimes at Christmas time, there have been occasions when enemies at war would put down their weapons for the one day, just in honor of the day, but they pick them back up again. And when I say that God wants to bring peace, I'm not saying that a place, a time when there'll be no more war. I mean, God would like that. We all would like that, but it's just not going to happen. Not until God's kingdom is set up. The Bible makes that clear. Doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for peace. We need to pray for peace. God tells us to pray for peace. But can I tell you that even if there was no war, we would still struggle perhaps with peace on the inside. I think of the many Christmas songs that even mentioned that. That peace is available. If we could just have peace. Even people who don't believe in God and Jesus, the Son of God, you hear Christmas songs talking about if only there was peace in the world. I think one of the songs that we're going to sing tonight even talks about that. It's not easy to experience peace in this world. It may be temporary cease of hostilities, but true peace. What kind of peace is it that God says is available if it's not peace in the world? Well, I think, first of all, God wants to make available peace with other people. We all know what it's like when there's difficulty between us and someone else, and God says, I can help with that. I want to see peace between you and your spouse. I want to see peace. I don't mean like I want to see like you better do it or shape up or I'm going to get you. But God's heart broken just as much perhaps as yours, maybe even more, that somehow things are not right in your marriage. Or in your relationship with your kids or your grandkids or your parents or your grandparents or somebody else. God wants for there to be peace. God makes that peace available. You might say, well, I've done everything I can, but they refuse. Well, you've done what you can. The Bible says do everything that you can do within your power to make peace with other people. Can I tell you that even if you do what you can and they refuse to respond, that God can still give you peace about it? Doesn't mean it'll take all the pain away, but you can have peace about it. But I'll be honest with you, it's very difficult for us to have peace with others if we don't have peace within. You see, that's our biggest problem right there. We don't have peace within. We're not settled with ourselves. We're not happy with the way we are, whether we admit it or not. But the Bible says that we can have peace within. But it all is kind of a chain reaction. We can't really have peace with others unless we have peace within. But we can't really have peace within unless we have peace with God. In fact, most of the time we do not have peace within is because we do not have peace with God. If you're here today and there's turmoil in your life, yes, it can be caused by circumstances and all that kind of stuff. And you may be really close to God and everything's fine between you and God. And I would just say, let God come in and give you his peace even in the midst of the difficulties you have. But many times when we find that turmoil there, it's because we're not at peace with God. Our sin, it gets in the way. When our sin is not dealt with, we are not at peace with God. You know, many times when someone's getting ready to die, someone will ask them, have you made your peace with God? It's a very important question. But can I tell you, we don't need to wait until we're ready to die. To about to die to make our peace with God. I want to tell you something. We can have peace all through life long if we'll make our peace with God now. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have peace with God. And therefore, only one way to truly experience that fullness of peace within ourselves, and that's to be right with God. To make it very simple, to make it very clear, very plain, hopefully for everyone in this room, the Bible says that we are all sinners separated from God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death one day, although that was an aspect of the consequences of sin, but spiritual death and separation from God. But that same verse that says the wages of sin is death also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas. Why did he come? We mentioned this last week. He was born to die. His death purchased the price for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's why it says that if we've been justified by faith, justified means being made right with God. I like the way this one person put it. It says, justified means just as if I'd never sinned. When we're trusting in what Jesus Christ did on the cross on our behalf, in God's sight, it's just as if I'd never sinned. But when we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you have never made that decision to commit your life to Christ, to come to Him and say, God, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. The Bible says Jesus died for my sins. I repent of my sins. I want to leave them behind. Forgive me. Not because I'm worthy, not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it. None of us can do that. But forgive me because Jesus paid for it. The Bible says we can be right before God and we can have His peace. Once again, Jesus said that that's what He came to do. In John 14:27, He told His disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus wants us to have peace this Christmas. And I want to challenge, I want to encourage you, open all your gifts this Christmas. Open the gift of peace that God makes available. And the last one is love. Love. The verse that probably more people know than any other is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loved us so much that even though our sin had totally separated us from Him, He said, I don't want it to stay that way. And He knew there was nothing we could do about it, so He says, I'll do something about it. He paid the ultimate price. Jesus paid the ultimate price that our sins could be forgiven. Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. God loves you so much. He wants you to know His love. He wants you to experience His love. He wants you to abide in His love, as Jesus said, to live in His love, to dwell in His love. And He wants you to have it so much that He was willing to die to provide it. He didn't die to prove it. He didn't have to prove anything. But He died to provide it, to provide forgiveness, and to provide the ability for you to have love in your life. Going back to the idea of gifts at Christmas time, I hope you enjoy every gift you get from every friend or family member or whoever it is. Even the gifts somebody gave you because they felt like they had to. I hope you get some really good ones. If you don't, stick them on the shelf and make them exchange gifts next year. But why is it that we enjoy gifts so much? Is it because we're selfish? Sometimes, yeah. But I honestly believe that that's not necessarily the root of it. We just love knowing that someone cared enough for us that they wanted to give us something. And yeah, there's certain things we'd like to have and maybe we can't get them on our own and it'd be nice to have them given to us. I really think that one of the reasons why we really enjoy gifts is because we're hoping for these things that God says He'll give us. I think sometimes we enjoy the gifts because we're hoping for joy. That if I could just get that one thing, I have joy. And we do for at least 5 minutes. I mean, even the big things of our lives, if I could just get that new car, I'd have such joy. I'd be so happy. And you are until the first ding in the door. The joy, the satisfaction that comes from things fades. I think another reason that we're so excited about gifts, we enjoy getting because we're hoping for peace. If I could just have this in my life, I'd feel better. You know, if I could just have this, it would meet this need. It would give me something to distract me from my problem. Whatever it is, I could have peace. If I could just get a gift, another one is that I would know that I'm loved. You see, all these things we long for, we desire. And the gifts that we give to each other can be great expressions of these things among us. But God says all these things are available to you already through Jesus Christ. God offers all three of these gifts to those who are in relationship with Him. I want to go back to Luke chapter 2 as we get ready to wrap this up. Luke chapter 2 verses 10 and 11 again. I started with these two verses. I'm going to end with them. When the angels are making the announcement to the shepherds, they say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Three things that are said about Jesus there. And I just want to tell you that if you really want to experience God's peace, if you really want to experience His joy, if you really want to experience His love, I've said that they're to those who are in relationship with Him. And this tells us about that relationship. And it's not like some kind of exclusive club where you come to God and say, "Well, God, can I have that kind of relationship with you?" And He says, "Yeah, great. Yeah, let's do that." Or He might say, "No, I don't think so. You're not holy enough. You're not tall enough. Whatever the conditions would be, you know. God doesn't turn anyone away. But what is it that Jesus came to be? Who is it that Jesus is? As the old Christmas song says, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" The angels made it very clear. It says here that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus came to be the Savior. You know what our biggest problem is that we want Him to be our Savior for this area of my life. I want Him to be my Savior for my finances because they're a mess. I want Him to be my Savior for my marriage because we're really struggling. I want Him to be my Savior for my workplace situation because I'm not sure what to do. And He certainly can help us with all those areas, but that's not what it's talking about. He came to be the Savior of our lives. Our problem is our sin. And we must surrender to Him as our Savior, accept what He did for us upon the cross to pay the price for our sins. It says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ." You know, many people think that Christ is Jesus' last name, or maybe His middle name. Christ is not Jesus' name at all. Christ is a title. Jesus is Jesus' name. And it's not so much true here except in Hispanic countries, but Jesus is not a common name today. Again, except in Hispanic countries, but it was a very common name in Jesus' day. In fact, Jesus' name is very similar to the name of Joshua or Isaiah or Hosea. In the Hebrew, it basically means "the Lord is salvation." And many people named their children a name in that structure because they were hoping for God's salvation. As I said, Jesus is the Savior. But Messiah was a whole other thing. Messiah is the term from the Old Testament that literally means the anointed one. You see, in the Old Testament, when God wanted to use someone for a special purpose, He would call one of His prophets or one of His servants to go to that person and anoint them with oil, which was the symbol of God's presence and power on that person's life to accomplish what God wanted them to do. The prophet Samuel anointed the first king, Saul. He also anointed the second one, David. There were others who were anointed for certain circumstances. Aaron, the high priest, was anointed to be the man to go before God on behalf of God's people to offer sacrifices. And then down through the lines, his children after him were anointed as high priests. But the Bible in the Old Testament talked and built this idea, just kind of built, that one day God was going to send the ultimate one. At that time, not realizing it was going to be God Himself, Jesus Christ, but the idea that God was going to send the ultimate deliverer, the ultimate Savior, the ultimate one in the line of David, the ultimate King who would come and set everything right. And that's why in Jesus' day, everybody was looking for the Messiah. But the Old Testament had kind of what seemed to be a contradictory message, because it talked about how this Messiah was going to come and was going to rule and reign and throw off all of God's people's oppressors and set up His kingdom, a kingdom of peace and joy and love, the things that we were just talking about. But it also talked about how when the Messiah came, he was going to have to suffer to pay the price for the deliverance he was going to bring. And the people couldn't see how those two things worked together. And I can't really blame them. I mean, if you're looking for someone to come, which one are you going to be looking for? The one who's going to come and solve all your problems? Or the one who's going to come and suffer and die for some obscure reason that you don't quite understand? You're going to be looking for someone to come and solve all your problems. And that's exactly what the people were doing. And fortunately, when Jesus came and Jesus was able to say, I am the Messiah, it was not quite obvious. And he was able to kind of steer them in the direction they needed to go. But many did not go that direction. The religious leaders in particular could not accept Jesus as the Messiah. And many others, and that's what led at the end of them, say, crucify him. He thinks he's the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. The Messiah is going to overthrow Rome. But the point is that Jesus was. He is the Messiah. And he's the same in our lives. He is the one who wants to come and help us with everything that we face. And he suffered and died so it could be possible. So we need to know him as Savior. We need to know him as Messiah. And then the last thing it says here, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. That word that is used there was used in the secular realm to talk about someone who's in charge. But in the Bible, we find that that word is used to refer to God. Right even here, the angels were saying that this one that has come is actually God. And as God, he is the Lord. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who's in charge. And you know, many times we want a Savior to save us from our problems and our sins and all that. But we don't want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. You know, sometimes people say, and I have said it myself, and I'm not downing anybody, but we don't get it exactly right, because we invite people to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. And you can accept Jesus as Savior, but you can't accept him as Lord. Because he already is Lord. We are called to acknowledge him as Lord. In fact, the Bible says that one day, everyone will acknowledge him. Even if they never have on this earth, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. We don't make him Lord. We don't accept him as Lord. We acknowledge him as Lord. But the question is, have we? Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Messiah, your Christ? Is Jesus your Lord? Can I tell you that the only way to truly, truly, truly experience all that God has for us, these gifts that many will not open, the love, the joy, the peace, is to know Jesus as your Savior. To know him as your Messiah, you're not as comfortable perhaps or familiar with that term, and to serve him, to know him, to make him your Lord. So again, I tell you today, I want to encourage you, open all of your gifts. All these things are available to every single one of us. But the only way we'll truly receive them is if we're in right relationship with God. I'm going to ask Misty and Travis to come and whoever else is supposed to come. Let's all stand together. And I want to close with one last thought. In fact, as they're coming, if our prayer team would come, please also. We're going to take a couple minutes to pray for any needs you might have. And then we're going to close. But one last thought. And you've probably heard this before. It's certainly not an original with me, but it's interesting that Christmas is Jesus' birthday. But who gets all the gifts? We do. What will you give Jesus today? Not in the sense of some token something because it's his birthday. But where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I want to challenge you and encourage you to make sure that you wear your need to be. In just a moment, Misty and Travis, or Misty, somebody's going to begin to sing. I don't even know what they're going to sing. If you know it, you're welcome to sing along. But we want to open up the front here that if you need anything from God, if you need a touch in your body, if you need something happening in your finances, if you got a relationship that's kind of gone sideways, you really would like God to intervene, we'd love to pray with you. But I'd also say that if today you're here and your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, where it should be, what it should be, would you come? And we would love to pray with you too. If you don't need to come for any reason, I just encourage you to just think and to meditate. As I said, if you know the song, whatever song they're going to do, if you want to sing along, that's fine. But just make sure before we leave here in a couple of minutes that everything's right between you and God, that you're ready to celebrate this Christmas. And you're ready to open the gifts that God has. So come. If you have any kind of need at all, why don't you come? We'd love to pray with you. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you today. And God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ to this earth. And in this season, we celebrate his birth. And I thank you, Lord, I don't think you mind all the parties and all the food and all the good times. But Father, may they never take the place of celebrating the real reason for this Christmas season, Lord, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We've been reminded about that today. Father, I pray that as we go into the week and enjoy getting together with our family members and friends, may that ever be at the top of our mind, Lord God. I pray that we'd each take some time this week just to spend alone with you, to perhaps solidify some of the things that you've spoken to our hearts about today. But Father, I pray that as we leave this place and later we'll unwrap gifts from family members and friends, Lord, may we leave no gift unopened. I pray we'd open every gift that you have for us. I pray that each one would experience your peace and your joy and your love as we surrender to you. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marianoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marian Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.